Ahoy there, Bradford here. And you know, after reaching 100,000 downloads, it just felt like this would be a great time to hear some of the wisdom of our very first guest that didn't make it into episode one.
We picked up these two girls that were ski instructors from Colorado, blondes.
And I suppose we could make time for a couple of congratulatory calls from the How Not to Sailor hotline.
Hello, Bradford. You already know who this is, and although you called me Mr. Friedman at the Miami Boat Show, I wanted to call and congratulate you on 100,000 downloads. What could possibly go wrong?
Couldn't have said it better myself. How Not to Sail, sponsored by our awesome Patreon patrons, including this week the crew of Sailing La Prima Barcavella and Latitudes and Attitudes magazine. They ruined my life, so why not let them ruin yours today at latsats.com. Was that actually the guy? I don't know. Anyway, I really appreciate all the congrats on 100,000 downloads. I know it isn't Joe Rogan territory, but it's a milestone. And I really appreciate you listening. Don't forget, you can call in and leave your comment, question, or what have you at 770-458-3838. You don't have to memorize the number. You can always just go to hownottosail.com and hit contact in the drop-down menu, and you can see the number for the hotline anytime. Now, I know this person is an actual celebrity because she's one of our contributors.
Ahoy, How Not to Sail hotline, Captain Boomies. Wishing you 100 bajillion more downloads. Is that a number? Happy 100,000.
I think Boomies and Bear might have been into the rum punches, but then again, maybe I am too. But irregardless, as my friend Bill might say, it seemed like this milestone was a great time to take the opportunity to circle back to our very first guest and the fella that ruined my life, Bob Bitchin. Now, if you're a listener to How Not to Sail, or you've read the book, or you're a cruiser of any stripe, it's highly unlikely that you haven't already heard of Captain Bob Bitchin. But just for the few that may not know, Captain Bitchin is a former biker who went from biker to sailor, sailed 100,000 miles or so, and is now the publisher of America's number one selling boating lifestyle magazine, Latitudes and Attitudes, in case that sounds familiar. The thing is, Bob is a larger-than-life kind of figure, and I figured he was the perfect person to kick off episode one. So I did an interview with him, the only one that I've ever done on Skype, as far as I remember, because he was in California, and I ended up using about 5 minutes out of the 45 minutes or so that I recorded. If you're subscribed to the How Not to Sail YouTube channel, you may have heard some of these, but not all in the same place, as far as I recall, and definitely not on the audio podcast. So I wanted to share with you some of the How Not to Sail stories that Bob has, because he has some great ones. And I wanted to kick it off with this segment about how Bob got into sailing and how it saved his life. So tell us about the day you first fell in love with sailing.
God, that was a mistake. One day I turned left instead of right when I walked out the door, and that'll change your life more than you want to admit. Mm-hmm. And normally we'd go to Mama Rosa's for burritos and beer for lunch, and because we're, you know, on our bikes. But we decided to go down to the marina this particular day. We got down to the marina, and after lunch, I walked out, and we're looking at a boat, and a guy's nailing a for sale sign, not literally nailing, but putting a for sale sign on a boat. And I thought, this looks interesting. So I was about 30-something at the time. I didn't start sailing young.
Right.
And I bought the Cal 28 from him, and I moved on it almost immediately. And a little while later, I've got very lucky. The Stonewich, which was the flagship for Greenpeace, mm-hmm. had a little bit of trouble blockading Diablo Canyon.
Ah,
they were building a nuclear site there.
Gotcha.
And Jane Fonda was on board at the time. She got arrested with her boyfriend, later husband. He was a congressman or something.
Okay.
Anyway, they were going to seize the boat, and a friend of mine was crewing on that boat. And I'd been on my Cal 28 now for about maybe 6 months, 3-4 months, 5 months. And I just teaching myself how to sail. I would just motor out of the harbor with the outboard and because I didn't want anybody to see me being stupid, you know, in the harbor. I'd go out there, raise my sails, and then I'd practice pulling up against these buoys they had, these 50-foot buoys that were for the oil tankers off of this. No. And I just practice side tying to these tankers so I could learn how to use my boat and not look silly.
Right.
And I looked silly for many, many, many years, but it was fun. We took off on Stonewich, and we sailed to Guatemala, 3 months. And it changed my life. The first day out, I was seasick. Second day, I was seasick, wanted to die. Third day out, wished I would die. I was thinking about telling them to pull in, and I just wanted to get off the boat. And the third day, I got up, and it was gone. I've never been seasick since. It took 3 days to get over the seasickness. And all of a sudden, I realized the life of being out at sea for days and weeks at a time was so phenomenal that I quit doing drugs and probably saved life.
Right.
So I was in a pretty dangerous lifestyle.
Right.
And sailing is so much better.
Sailing is better than drugs, says the man who went from biker to sailor, and he should know. Personally, I can vouch that sailing is pretty darn good. I suppose you're wondering about those ski instructors that Bob mentioned, but right before we get to that, we're going to take one more call from the How Not to Sailor hotline.
Hey, my friend. I just wanted to give you a call and congratulate you on being loaded down 100,000 times. Good for you, brother.
That was the Peter Suarez, a.k.a. Captain Pete, who you can hear all over the joint in Season 1 and Season 2, calling in on the How Not to Sailor hotline. You can call in and have your own voice heard at 770-458-3838. But meanwhile, here's Captain Bob Bitchin talking about the ski instructors, Hawaii, and a rogue wave.
My wife and I had been, after the South Pacific, we went up to Hawaii. I belong to the Hawaii Yacht Club and have been a member there for 30 years. And while we were there, we picked up these two girls that were ski instructors from Colorado, blondes, attractive. We were at the Hawaii Yacht Club, and they walked up to the boat, and they said, "You need any crew?" And I looked at Jody and said, "Can I keep them?" And she said, "Yeah." So we brought them aboard. And they were the best crew we ever had because they smell better than men. And anyway, when they did leave, finally, we decided, just the two of us, and we're on a 56-foot boat, 42 tons, big boat, but the two of us could handle it easily. So we sailed out to Lono Harbor on Kauai, and then we went to go across the Alinui-Haha Channel. I think Alinui-Haha in Hawaiian means to crumple up and throw out, because if it's blowing 20 on the islands, it's blowing 50 in the channel. So at this particular time, there was a storm going on, and it was blowing 40 on the islands. So it's blowing like 50, 60 in the channels. We made it as far, we went from Oahu to Kauai to Lanai to Maui, and we were hiding behind Haleakala, the mountain there. And it was beautiful. I mean, the sun was shining, people were on the beach, but the wind was blowing off the top of the mountain, and they were saying in the channels, it's blowing 55. And we don't want to do a crossing in 55 knots, but we decided we'll wait for it to switch. Well, all of a sudden they came and they said, okay, it's going to switch around, and it's going to be right on your nose at 35. Thinking, okay, 55 behind me or 35 on the nose, I'd rather have 55 behind me. So 6 o'clock in the morning, we pull out into the Alinui-Haha from behind Haleakala, and it's just Jody and I on the boat. I don't know why I always leave at 5-6 in the morning. It's crazy, but you know, real bright. But we took off with just a handkerchief of a head sail and a triple reefed main, and we were catch rigged, which means we had four sails. We had the head sail, the staysail, the mainsail, the mizzen, and so we just had a little bit of main and a little bit of head sail. We're doing 8.5 knots. We're surfing down 30-foot faces of waves, and we're going across the channel, and everything's lovely. Jody couldn't steer for more than like 10, 15 minutes at a time, so she could relieve me, but then I'd have to get back on it. The autopilot could not steer it because when you surf down a 30-foot wave, you get going up to 10, 12 knots, you start to broach. So Anyway, we get about 8 miles out into the channel, and I'm at the wheel, and all of a sudden I see the head sail luff. And I'm like, that's odd. 50 miles in, why would a head sail luff? And I turn and I look behind me, and there is an 80-foot wall of water. It was two 30-foot waves that had crossed and made a rogue wave with a 50-foot wave. But the height of a wave is not from the bottom. It's from sea level. And there's a dip in front of it. So overall, the way I knew it was 80 feet is our mast was 76 feet. It's over the mast. So I, of course, didn't have a harness on. That's how not to sail. And I put my arm through we had a destroyer wheel, the ship's wheel. I put my arm through it and locked my hand. And as I did, we went up the face of the wave because boats float. But there's less water on one side than there was on the other. So the boat started to invert. And then as we got up higher, the wave broke. And the mast went underwater. The boat was like this. We augured in, but we're doing 8.5 knots. We're 42 tons. You don't stop 42 tons. So it went like that, and then it did what boats are supposed to do. It popped back up again because of the keel. I'm just glad I was catamaran at the time. So we righted instantly. The wave had broken over the boat like this. I was in here. I didn't even get wet, basically. Wave broke. It popped back up like that. I looked up, and I saw, wow, that's beautiful, because the sun was shining. I mean, it was windy, but sun was shining. And the water coming off the mainsail looked like Niagara Falls. And I thought, wow, that's beautiful. And I looked down and I said, Jody, you ought to see this. And I looked down and Jody's like this. So this is where I came up with the saying that the difference between an ordeal and an adventure is attitude. This is where Jody came up with the saying, sometimes it's just an ordeal.
Okay, so we've heard about the drugs, we've heard about the ski instructors and the rogue waves. But how did Bob become involved with motorcycle daredevil Evel Knievel?
Met him one night on the Sunset Strip. I was riding my bike, and he was driving his Maserati convertible. I didn't know who he was. He didn't know me from Adam. But we stopped at a stoplight, and I looked over at him, and here's this guy wearing a fur coat. And I'm thinking, well, this guy's but the car was hot. And I had just finished working on the engine on my bike. And so I went off the line with him, and he kicked my butt, and we got the next time. And he says, I'm going to dinner down here at Cerno's. Why don't you pull in and look at your bike? So I was thinking, this might be a come-on line, but, you know. So I pulled in, and that's how I met Knievel. And that night we were drinking together, and we were drinking together until about 4 in the morning. Unfortunately, the bars closed at 2 in the morning. This meant that when the police came to the door, they were going to arrest somebody. They arrested the owner of the bar. Knievel, this first night I knew him, he handed me a wad of bills, and he said, would you go bail him out? And I said, sure. So I went to bail him out. I was arrested when I got to the jail. They said I was interfering with a peace officer. And so I spent the night in the jail, or the rest of the morning, actually, in the jail, with Filthy McNasty, which is the owner of the bar, Filthy McNasty's. It was right across the street from the Whiskey Go-Go. And but then the funny thing is, the next night, I went back to give Knievel his change, and we're back at Filthy's. And I was interviewed by the guy that was writing a story about Knievel for the Rolling Stone magazine. And this was the issue that had the group that sang Get Your Picture on the Cover of Rolling Stone when they were on the cover. And the opening line to the story about Evel Knievel was, Bob Bitchin was, and that's how the whole story started. And it's the first time I saw my name in print. I loved it. Ego, yeah.
But what's even better for your ego than seeing your name in Rolling Stone? Starting your own magazine. For readers of Bob's magazine, Latitudes and Attitudes, who wondered how it got started, here's the answer.
I started out as a bodyguard for Evel Knievel, and when he went into the ditch, I had to find something to do. Right. Everybody I met when I worked for Knievel was in the publishing business, and they were all rich.
Uh-huh.
So I figured, this is what I need to get into. I knew nothing about it. I'd never even been in a publishing office, And I started a little newspaper called Biker News, which turned into Biker Magazine.
Right.
Then I started Tattoo Magazine. And in that was all in the late 70s and early 80s. And then in 1986, I sold the magazines, Tattoo and Biker Magazine, to Easy Riders Magazine. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was living on a boat.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I decided now's the time to take off. And I took off. The mistake I've made my whole life is when I like something, I get really involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked sailing.
Right.
And so after kidnapping my bartender, who's now my wife, 20 years, but my bartender at the Portofino Yacht Club and Marina, which is where I lived, mm-hmm. I kidnapped her, Jody, and we jumped on the boat. I told her we were going to go to the island. She thought I meant Catalina. I meant Tahiti. Shortly thereafter, we were sailing to Tahiti. It changed my life. It was right after I sold Biker and Tattoo Magazines to Easy Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I had enough money to sail around for a while. I had enough money to sail around for about, I think we made it for 8 or 9 years. And everywhere we ever wanted to go. We didn't do a circumnavigation. We just sailed all over the world. Mm-hmm. We did the Pacific, went up to Hawaii for a while, came back through the Panama Canal after stopping at Redondo Beach, our home port, to annoy our friends.
Right.
And then told them, no, we're leaving again. And we went through the canal and went into the Caribbean, had a ball there. And then we went over to the Med, had a ball there. Turned around, came back, had a ball, met so many people. It was unbelievable. And during my cruise, I was writing a newsletter, just what I'd do is I would send a letter to a friend of mine who had an office, and his secretary would copy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then back then she would do copies of it, and she'd mail them to all the people on our mailing list. Started out with 30 people. By the time we got back, it was 300 people.
Mm.
So I said, when I came back, the only thing I knew was magazines at that time. My two best friends, one was the editor of Easy Rider, and the other was the editor of 5 magazines for Prime Media. Mm-hmm. One of them, they're all motorcycle related or car related. But
mm-hmm.
And they said, you need to get back in publishing business. And I'm like, how do I do that? And one of them said, I can get you a contract with a distributor. The other one said, I can get you a contract with a printer. And less than a year later, the first issue of Latitudes and Attitudes came out. It was an instant, believe it or not, hit. It was within 3 years, it was the best-selling marine title on the newsstands. And we published it for 18 years.
And that was the basis of my cruising problem. Thanks for that.
Yeah. I ruined thousands of lives with that magazine, uh-huh. I can tell you. Because all we did was talk story about what it's like cruising.
Right.
We never tell people how to sail. We just tell them why.
Right, right. Well said, Bob. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, there's a very unfortunate visual of me looking like a billy goat wearing a sailing shirt and glasses and a cap and jacket. But you know, it's one of those days when it's hard to find a clever way to wrap up, so I'm really glad at those times to have that little bit of drunken sailor music that Captain Pete and I cobbled together in episode 2 of season 1. You know the one. Join us on Friday, May 13th for the next episode, which could be about messing with the through-hauls if I hear back from Adam. Thanks, as always, to our awesome Patreon patrons, including our newest from Sailing Prima Barcavella. You can check out their journeys at sailingpb.com and Latitudes and Attitudes magazine. They ruin my life, so why not let them ruin yours today at latsats.com. Thanks to our celebrity callers this week, Captain Boomies, Captain Pete, and that Friedman guy. Remember, you can call in and leave your voice at 770-458-3838. And if you forget the number, just go to HowNotToSail.com and look under the contact thingy in the menu. As a matter of fact, you can find everything How Not to Sail at HowNotToSail.com. You never know what you'll find there. Thanks so much for listening, for telling your friends, and leaving those great 5-star reviews. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Meanwhile, go out there and spend your next whole paycheck on a bunch of electronics you don't understand how to use. And I'll see you next time on
How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
So this is where I came up with the saying that the difference between an ordeal and an adventure is attitude. This is where Jody came up with the saying, sometimes it's just an ordeal.